listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
True. 2020. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And as always, excuse me, I am broadcasting from the wonderful Chicago suburbs. I'm glad I'm in the suburbs. Anyway, I'm glad that you've joined me today on this Labor Day weekend, which of course is Monday. And just on a personal note, when I had my my first child, I went into labor on Labor Day. How's that? Good planning or something, I'm not sure. Anyway, I am glad that you joined me today at republicbroadcasting.org, and I ask that you visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net, and I really would like to have you look at the link up at the top, Your Health Matters. There are so many links there for your education, information. The gentleman that runs that site is just fabulous, and he works really, really hard on it. And I'm just so grateful to him for putting that together. It's just amazing. Again, that's SpingolaSpeaks.net. And I hope that you will also visit ScreeningSandyHook.net, which is a site that I have put a lot of information about the Sandy Hook victims and their families, and pictures of all the funerals. Some of them were open casket. Anyway, I hope that you will have an opportunity to visit ScreeningSandyHook.net. If you have questions or comments during the program today, just email comment at spingola.email. And you may also visit our lovely chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And, of course, you know where to find the archives of the program, or the information about the programs that I've had in the past. You can just visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left-hand side of the page, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing so many interesting, wonderful guests from whom I learn so much from. It's just, I really enjoy talking with people and learning about what they are interested in, and learning about what they have to share. And anyway, our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and he is an emeritus professor of geography from the California State University at Stanislaus, and he has several websites, and I will post those in the chat room. But there's so many things going on today. Well, since March just seemed to, we're going to have a lockdown for a few weeks. Here we are, September 5th, and we're still under house arrest. Anyway, Dr. Eric, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Deanna. It's always a pleasure to have a chance to catch up and hopefully push forward our understanding a little bit.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. You had some, excuse me, you had some audio files that you placed. Let's see, you put those in the chat room. You sent them to me. So I hope that they're available to our wonderful producer. Anyway, we'll get those over to him. So where do we start? Where do you want to start? There's...
Well, You're right. There is so much going on. It's very hard to know where to start. But I think that, you know, we've all been dramatically confused and our lives have been turned upside down. But now the patterns are starting to shake down a little bit. And I think we're starting to see what the program is and who it benefits and who it doesn't benefit. We know that most of small business has, a large part of small businesses have been wiped out, and farmers and ranchers are really having a hard time. And of course, that's really the backbone of the country in terms of independent citizens. Most other people are in some kind of employment chain of command, so they can be told what to do and not to do. But I think what we're seeing is a very deliberate social engineering project, which looks pretty ominous to me. Just to introduce myself briefly, I taught 30 years at three universities. I taught geography, physical geography specifically, landforms, climate, soils. Also, for 20 years, I taught a course called Human Ecology, which is basic environmental type issues. And it was in the context of that course that I really got more and more involved with geopolitics and how the world kind of really works. While I was doing all this teaching for 30 years and doing the traditional academic thing, I also noticed there were some really wild and crazy lies about us, and I thought maybe it's my responsibility as a university professor to try to get the facts out. So I started my naturalclimatechange.org website, which shows that, you know, climate change is a natural phenomenon, and what's occurring with the UN push to get us all afraid of man-caused global warming is an attempt to put a global tax on the use of fossil fuels and to provide a cover story for their geoengineering projects. And then, so that's a huge website and could be turned into two or three books, but I haven't had a chance to slow down. I also have a website, 911nwo.com, which likewise shows that, of course, 9/11 was a massive psyop, fraud, and false flag and trauma-based mind control experiment, really. So we have these massive intelligence frauds that have been going on since all our lives with the Kennedy assassination, 9/11. And now the latest, of course, is the war on COVID. I think the war on terrorism was, they're kind of losing the momentum on that. People were starting to realize that your chance of being killed by a terrorist is about the same as being, you know, killed by your TV set, 1 in 20 million. And therefore, it was starting to lose its grip, its fear grip. So they had to come out with something else. And now we've got the war on COVID, which is supposed to make us all afraid and keep us in our homes and prepare us now to for slave status. And, of course, I think the masks are a sign of our enslavement and also the sign that we will comply and submit, you know, in obedience to authority. And what we're really seeing now, Deanna, I think, is the rollout on a global scale of weaponized psychological warfare operations against domestic populations in order to confuse and get us to submit to authority. This is a whole other topic. I've written extensively about the history of mind control as well. And then I guess I should introduce my most recent website, which is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, because in 2013, while I was writing these papers that were exposing this, that, and the other, I found myself as a targeted individual being gang stalked, or that's one term, organized stalking, electronic torture is another term, contract stalking, counterintelligence stalking. It's really a continuation of the East German Stasi system or the COINTELPRO system of the FBI. So we're in a radical American global Stasi police state, which I call G5, for Global Government Gang Stalking Genocide Gestapo. And it's a huge fascist police state. And my basic thesis, I think I'd like to explore tonight or this afternoon, Deanna, is what we're seeing is fourth generation warfare or hybrid warfare or unconventional warfare being used against domestic populations in order to roll out the fourth industrial revolution, which is the technocracy, which is a world controlled by AI, 5G, Internet of Things, supercomputers, etc., in which we're all reduced to kind of nodes on a computer screen. And there is a real potential with the vaccines now to turn us all into cyborg slaves. The cyborg is a cybernetic organism. And this has been the kind of undercurrent secret push by scientific elites since World War II to move us toward this cybernetic slavery system. And it turns out slavery is very profitable. So the people at the top, I think, are going for the whole enchilada right now, and they're using this time of manufactured confusion over a virus that is had proven itself not to be deadly at all. The chance of dying in COVID-19 is something like 0.003% or something like that.
Oh, I think it's even less. Gosh, it's amazing. Awesome. And of course the numbers have been inflated, terribly inflated, with all of the people, particularly in several states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and I think that they've been inflated, and I was doing some tweeting about this earlier this week, is that Medicare, and you really have to include the political, the government organizations, the government politics in this, because when they introduced Medicare, I believe that was 1965, it was supposed to be this wonderful, wonderful thing for older people. and then they came along with Medicaid. But the fact is that the states have to pay 70% or 60% of the Medicaid costs. And so when you have so many people on drugs, and it's amazing in this country that the majority of the people are on drugs. Many of them are overdrugged, people in nursing homes and places like that. Any place that the government has control over. You talk about your prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, which are licensed, schools, the military. You're going to have a lot of people on drugs, psychotropic drugs and other drugs. And so when Medicaid is paying for that, when it's through Medicaid, it's the states that have to come up with a big proportion of that money. And so they are not able to fix their infrastructure. Roads are falling apart, bridges are falling apart, things are falling apart. And that is the reason, is because it seems like all of our resources, all of the assets, within a state are being directed to big pharma. And people don't understand that. They don't get that picture.
Yeah, well, you know, if you, meaning the power elite, meaning six Jewish corporations basically, own 96% of the media, then you control the message. And as it turns out, Deanna, I think people are, rather easily duped. And we know the principle, they just keep lying. And the bigger the lie and the more they repeat it, the more people are likely to believe it. And it's not that people are, stupid, it's just that they're getting this message so much. It's repetition, yeah. And so we have all kinds of mind control operational now, but certainly propaganda, repetition, and control of the media is a gigantic part of this thing. And so we all have to kind of wake up soon, those of us who haven't, in order to, I think, maintain our country. Because what's at stake now, it really is our future as a country, but as a civilization as well, and also as a species. Because it looks like the people in control want to move us to a transhuman, man-machine cyborg status, which they can completely control. And again, this science has been undercover, underground, going on for at least 100 years. And what we're seeing now is it's coming to the surface, with Elon Musk's Neuralink, which he just rolled out. That's a chip that goes into the brain, and he sells it by saying, okay, it's cheap, and it'll, help the blind see, and it'll help, if you've got depression or something like that. Well, a chip like that, the people on the other end of this electrode can completely control you like a like a cyborg slave. So there's a tremendous danger in this kind of thing. And likewise, same guy, Elon Musk wants 42,000 low Earth orbiting satellites, which can then directly connect with individuals and control them. So what we have here, I think, unrolling before our eyes is a highly technocratic slavery system in which humans will be converted into this cyborg slavery status unless we stand up and say, no, thank you. We do not want this vaccine of Bill Gates. We know that it has nanoparticles in it that can self-assemble and can turn into essentially a RFID chip, which they can track and surveil and target us. And it also has, you know, DNA and RNA changing substances in it so that we actually are altered genetically. We're genetically modified organisms now, which can be patented and owned by somebody else.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, absolutely right.
And that's Bill Gates' patent, and he's got the patent. It's a 666 patent, you know. So what we have is apparently a takeover of the world program going on right now, which looks to me an awful lot like the Antichrist kingdom, looks an awful lot like the children of Satan who are behind it, mostly Jewish billionaires, and of course with their allies. But you know, Bill Gates and George Soros, who's underwriting all these revolutionary actions in our cities to create chaos and to drive us now towards a full-on police state, I believe. So what we're seeing is an attempt to take over the country by a criminal faction. And the more people can wake up and the faster they can wake up, I think the better a chance we have to defend ourselves. Because this ultimately is the Illuminati. This is the group that organized the French Revolution in 1789, which was horrifically bloody, and they brought out the guillotines, and then the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 onward, and then for the next 70-some years, 66 million white Christians were systematically killed in the gulags. So if you want to know the real holocausts, they are the holocaust by this criminal group, over 100 million in China when China went communist. These are the real holocausts, and these are the really brutal criminal syndicates that have carried out this kind of mayhem in the past, and I think are very poised now to carry it out on a global basis because they have sold us on the idea that there's too many human beings on the planet, that we need massive population reduction in order to save the Earth and all this phony environmental baloney. And this is what I taught for, you know, 30 years, so I began to see through it.
I'm surprised that you were able to teach something that wasn't in the curriculum, because I don't think you could do it now. Could you?
Well, it's a very good point, Deanna. You know, I started teaching at Cal State University in 1990, and I was handed this course, human ecology, and I'd always been an environmentalist, a climber and a skier and a hiker, and I love nature. So I thought, great, you know. And for the first 10 years, I taught out of a textbook, that's typical biology textbook called Environment or Environmental Science or something like that, which is basically a litany of all these horrible problems, you know, overpopulation and, you know, loss of biodiversity and, you know, soil erosion. And by the end of the class, everybody's completely depressed, you know. But then I, at the year 2000, I decided to look and see what the right wing politicals were saying about this. And turns out they were saying that this was a fraud. And much of it and most of it was a fraud. And I had already figured out that the climate change part was a fraud because that was my field of study. And I had a website about that. So then I looked into all the other elements and realized that that was also fraudulent. And that what I was doing was participating in a gigantic psychological operation to get Americans to accept a lower lifestyle, less wealth, less use of energy in particular, and population reduction. And this, I think, is what these monsters have in mind now. They want to radically reduce the population. This goes to the UN documents going back to the 70s and 80s. They want to save the planet by removing two-thirds or nine-tenths of humanity. So these are really real monsters. And, of course, Bill Gates is one of the depopulation.
Yeah, he is the monster in chief. All righty, we're going to a quick three-minute break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and he is, he's got a lot of websites. He's an emeritus professor of geography, and he was teaching some very, very interesting things in his classes. I have posted his websites in the chat room, and you may find the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. I hope that you will visit there. We do have some lovely people who congregate there. That, again, that is spingola.chatango.com. I had in my notes from before, because we've talked about the gang stalking and this kind of thing before. In fact, I have all the notes that we've talked about, things that we've talked about before. And one of the notes here is the NSA gave Israel access to all U.S. citizens' communications data, leaked documents reveal. And so anyway, I was just scrolling through some of the notes that that we talked about previously in previous programs.
Yeah, Deanna, you know, if you look at, you know, cui bono, who benefits from these massive lies? Well, who benefited from, you know, the assassination of Kennedy, which was obviously carried out to a large extent by the CIA with the military supporting it. And Israel was definitely involved because they did not want Kennedy to limit their nuclear production of nuclear weapons. But the Vietnam War went ahead as planned.
Oh, and he wanted to bring the people home from Vietnam and wanted to end our engagement there. So the minute he was assassinated, then Johnson accelerated the war, and ignored, he talked about the Bay of Tonkin and then totally ignored the fact that the USS Liberty, was bombed by Israel on June 8th of 1967. That just didn't, he didn't talk about that, but he made up the story about an event in Tonkin Bay. Anyway, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, True News has just made a movie called Sacrificing Liberty, which I haven't seen, but I look forward to seeing, in which they interviewed many of the soldiers who were on that ship, which was supposed to be sunk as a false flag that would,
right,
that would justify America, you know, sending some nuclear bombs over to Egypt, you know, on behalf of Israel. So by 1967, the United States foreign policy was in Israel's back pocket. And Johnson is supposedly overheard or taped on phone saying, I want that ship on the bottom, on the bottom.
Right.
And there was our commander in chief who was, you know, just letting the ship be destroyed for political purposes. And this is highest treason, of course. But anyway, who benefited from the Kennedy assassination? Well, obviously the military industrial complex and Israel. Who benefited from 9/11? Well, obviously the same, because, you know, it was the neocon group, the Project for the New American Century, who handed us in 1999 and 2000 our script for the next 20 years, mm-hmm. in which 9/11 became the Pearl Harbor that justified all these wars in the Middle East for Israel. And if we look at the composition of the Project for a New American Century, we see it's made out of Jewish neoconservatives, and that's a very funny kind of a title, because the people that founded this Jewish intellectual movement were in fact Trotskyite communists. So,
well,
you know,
that's pretty much the same.
When
you really look at it.
Yeah, cui bono for 9/11? Well, you know, we've spent $6 trillion plus on wars that have benefited Israel, and of course not benefited the countries that were demolished, and not benefiting the American soldiers and, you know, who were also wounded and killed. And likewise, We ramped up our own domestic police state to the tune of another $8 trillion since 9/11. So what we see is the national security racketeering network grew radically at home, and the war business expanded radically abroad. And now if we look at, the global warming hoax, who's the beneficiary of that? Well, that's the United Nations, because they were supposed to become the prototype one world government with powers to tax all economic activity through carbon taxes, and also the military industrial complex of several countries, because the global warming was a false front for geoengineering and weather warfare, which was where the action really was in terms of weaponization of the wavelengths of energy and directed energy weapons. And then, who benefits from COVID-19? Well, it's the same group. It's the UN WHO, again, prototypical world government, and it's the medical health mafia. It's the Fauci group, the Gates Soros crowd, the George Soros crowd. And so the players are really becoming quite apparent. We're seeing who's benefiting from all these lies that have cost us so much in terms of our integrity and in our wealth and our standard of living.
Exactly. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
We are back, and our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom. And we were talking about a lot of things. And I remember that Kissinger said that military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. So he's a really nice guy. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, and of course, Kissinger was one of these Illuminati German-Jewish Asian tour advisor to our several presidents in several capacities.
Including this one. Including the current one. They met before the election, and apparently they've known each other for quite some time. But in an article that I wrote just before... maybe just after Trump was elected. The name of the article was We've Been Trumped. And I mentioned that, that they met in New York, and Trump said that he had known Kissinger for quite a long time. And, of course, we do know, too, that John Trump, his uncle, Trump's uncle, was privy to look at all of Tesla's paperwork, all of his work that he left after he died. He wasn't expecting to die so soon, but apparently he died earlier than he anticipated. And anyway, John Trump was privy to all this paperwork, which I find kind of interesting.
Well, Tesla changed the world, didn't he, Deanna?
he would have, because he felt that energy, which I also feel, is free, electricity is free, and basically you had a lot of corporations or upcoming corporations that decided to harness the electricity that was free and then charge other people for it, which is what they've tried to do with everything, including the radio waves. It used to be that there were lots and lots of radio stations, and then you had Herbert Hoover, who, when he was Secretary of Commerce, I believe it was in 1927 that he got the Radio Act passed, and then when Reagan came into power, he totally got rid of the fairness doctrine and placed monopolized the media, so that what you have now is those, just those 15 million billionaires that own the media. And yeah. Reagan assisted in that process, very definitely assisted. He did a lot of really bad things. A lot of people think of him as, oh, this great, great person. He was an actor. That's what he was doing during his presidency.
Yes, he was. And of course, he was almost killed in his first year and then probably by vice president. And then,
yeah,
and
he
was a figurehead ever since. You know, in the next 7 years, George H.W. Bush pretty much ruled. And of course, he had been CIA director.
Yes. So I think he was ruling the whole time.
Yes, yeah. So, and of course, the Bushes are a third-tier Illuminati family, also Jewish German immigrants that have come.
I don't believe that story, but because I've been in family history research for some time, I don't believe that story. But that's me.
I guess I got that from our friend Tex Mars.
Tex is a wonderful person. Was.
Yeah, he about Solomon Bush being here at the time of the Revolutionary War,
yeah,
and George Bush being a college professor at the time of the Civil War. But anyway, that's kind of, you know, just kind of,
sure, interesting stuff.
We're dealing now with, I think, this Illuminati agenda, which is, you know, one world government and, eradicate, nation states, eradicate, religion, eradicate the family, eradicate private property. This was all laid out in the 1776 documents. You know, at the time of the founding of the Illuminati, Tex Mars again was just probably the expert on this stuff. He spent most of his life searching this stuff. And, but I think what we're seeing now, Deanna, is it's more than just another Bolshevik revolution. Yes, we have the dynamic of Jewish-funded revolutionaries in the street like we had during the Bolshevik Revolution. And yes, we have the pressure from above and pressure from below, as they say, to start a revolution with the bankers at the top and the street revolutionaries at the bottom, and then the people caught in the middle. So that's the tried and true formula. But there's more to it than that, and that is, I think, this, and this is brought out very well by Catherine Austin Fitz, who is the Queen of Follow the Money, former assistant director of HUD, who's been trying to track down the missing trillions from the Pentagon. Some $20 to $90 trillion have gone missing.
Well, and you know, that happened, like, the day before, wasn't Rumsfeld that said, oh gosh, there's, all this money missing. How much money was it?
At that time, it's $2.3 trillion can't find it.
And they moved all the bookkeepers, and they also moved the people that viewed war games over into the section of the Pentagon that wasn't finished yet. They weren't supposed to move for another week or two, and then all of a sudden, they decided to move all these bookkeepers and these people who were monitoring the war games that were going on at the time. And those people were killed, and all the records were gone, disappeared. Jiffy, just like that, gone. As well as Building 7, all of the financial records there obviously were gone.
Yeah, these are such complex operations, you know. And then, of course, an essential part of these operations is the ongoing cover-up, which still is continuing today for all of these operations going back to the Kennedy assassination. And this is really where the term conspiracy theory comes from.
Assassinations, two of them.
Yeah, yeah. So we're dealing with this shadow government, which has influenced world events. And it says in the protocols, you know, unbeknownst to the dumb goyim, we've stage-managed history for centuries, you know. And so right now, we're obviously being stage-managed. But I think it's very interesting to go back to this lady, Catherine Austin Fitz, because in some of her recent interviews, she pretty much explains what's going on by following the money. And she kind of takes us back to August of last year, 2019, in which the Federal Reserve, who I know you've written about extensively, was meeting in Jackson Hole, and they decided, with Stanley Fisher kind of at the helm, who's the former head of the Bank of Israel and vice president of the Federal Reserve, so going back and forth, dual citizen, Jewish, they're rolling out a new plan. They're going to replace the system of currencies that we have had for a long time with a go direct, go digital reset. And so what they want to do is they want to make a more or less a cryptocurrency, which is going to be like credits from the company store, which will be allotted to the person based on the measured performance of that person. And the performance will be measured by these surveillance devices, which are implanted in the person. So now we, again, moving towards cyborg slavery. And again, it's the vaccine, which, with the quantum dot tattoo and all this stuff, which allows the self-assembling nanotechnology to form these trackable, traceable chips, essentially, in the body. So what we're looking at is a very, very dark program here to enslave humanity. This would be moving us to a cashless, digital, transhumanist, technocratic slavery system. So they want to re-engineer the global financial system, and they turned around and they asked the global health mafia, give us a way to slow things down, get people locked in their homes while we set things up here. So this, I think, is probably the best explanation I've heard. And she also mentions that the global elite are currently very afraid of being outed by all the recent publicity on Pizzagate and the Epstein pedophilia scandal.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Pushing them now. They're betting the ranch. They can centralize and install this digital slavery system over the entire world. And I think it's up to us to say, gosh, no thanks, Stanley Fischer. And Lawrence Fink of BlackRock, who is now in charge of implementing this great reset. No, thank you. We believe government was instituted to ensure our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, as our founding documents say, not to enslave us to a digital currency, a cashless system, which is obviously what the Federal Reserve is now intending to do.
Right, but that's something else too, is that which I'm going to talk about with another guest in the near future. Many people think that the Federal Reserve is privately owned, but Congress created it, and they didn't do it during the Christmas holidays. They did it with a quorum. But anyway, that's something that we're going to talk about later. But then you have to figure, okay, Congress may have created it, but who owns Congress? And I've been reading a lot of Grant F. Smith's books lately. He's a fabulous, fabulous author and has written some very interesting books about the takeover of the U.S. economy by Israel. And we all know about Jonathan Pollard. Well, Jonathan Pollard was just one of dozens and dozens of people who were over here stealing technology. And whereas the United States and certain corporations in the United States were building most of the weapons and warfare implementation. And then all of a sudden you have Israel competing because they have kind of merged the two nations together economically. Anyway, it's very fascinating to read some of these things. And so, and they've also done this with Big Pharma. They started out with the generic types of pharmaceuticals. And they would ask for to be able to see, we had what is called the free trade agreement with them. And we wouldn't charge them anything, but they decided they were going to charge us tariffs so that we really could not participate in their market, but they could participate in ours. And so if you're taking a generic drug for probably the last 15 years, it was probably made in Israel. But there are lots of information in his books. And I've read three or four of them. they're amazing. And Apollo, Pennsylvania, and also Park, Pennsylvania, there was a company called NUMAC who set up, they were processing uranium and shipping it illegally to Israel. And they did it in a standing factory, which was not really prepared or not, shouldn't have been used for what they were using it for. And so it spoiled the ground. Lots and lots of people in the two communities got cancer, and it cost the American taxpayer $170 million to clean up the environment after they went out of business.
Well, the devil is in the details, and I'm glad you have so many of them at your fingertips there, Deanna.
it's amazing what has gone on. And also they sold implementation. They sold guns that were on Iraqi tanks when the U.S. Marines went into Iraq. How's that for a dirty trick? They stole the weapon technology, sold it to Iraq to use against the U.S. They've also done that to China. They sold a lot of stuff to China that they stole from the United States.
Yeah. Well, they've been a gray eminence in so many operations, Iran-Contra and the death squads in South America included.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes. 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 That whole thing with Oliver Norris and...
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I just hope people can wake up in time, you know. But it's always several pronged, and it's always an attack, and it's always an attempt to take down the host nation. So it does, I think, make sense to view this as almost two different species: the host species and the parasite species. With the parasite continually trying to destroy the host. I mean, it's just constant. And of course, we're all not supposed to see the obvious, but I think it's becoming obvious. And here's another little, of course, the economic warfare has gone on simultaneously, you know, with the actual physical warfare and the war on terrorism, or the war of terrorism, I should say. Mm-hmm. But the Chicago boys, Milton Friedman of University of Chicago, they were proponents of disaster capitalism and the shock doctrine. And Naomi Klein wrote a good book called Disaster Capitalism.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And this, of course, is what's happening now with the riots in the city. And, of course, Catherine Austin Fitz makes the point that the areas that are being targeted and destroyed are areas that the Fed Reserve wants to take over. So,
right.
Again, the whole principle of disaster capitalism is that the elite will create a disaster or capitalize on a natural disaster, and then they'll come in, buy things up for pennies on the dollar, and recreate the whole situation. And this is exactly the plan that was carried out in the coup in Chile in 1973, which was organized by Henry Kissinger and the Chicago Boys, and gave us, took out Salvador Allende, put in Augusto Pinochet, the fascist dictator, and 30,000 some political types in Chile.
Right. All right, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and we're talking about a whole lot of things. We're talking about the things that are going on, the cryptocurrency, money missing from 9/11, and just all kinds of things. And as far as the gang stalking, there were a couple of questions in the chat room, a couple of comments, I should say. About this, Let's see. Just go through here. Gang stalking. Okay, what kind of gang stalking do you feel that you were a victim of? I think we're all victims of stalking. We've been stalked ever since we got online.
That's right. Well, okay, so now that we've kind of opened up that can of worms, let me introduce a new project that I've got on my ericcarlstrom.com website, which is my musical website. See, in my other life, I've always been a musician, and I've got 20 CDs of guitar, banjo, and piano music that I've recorded over the years. And my newest project has got 73 tracks. It is a combination of what I would say are the headlines or the highlights, the most important features of information and insights from my gang stalking mind control cult.com in combination with some of my instrumental tunes. So my new project titled is Lifeline, Essential Insights and Healing Music for Illegally Targeted Citizens. The subtitle is Exposing and Defeating Organized Stalking, Electronic Torture, Mind Control, Illegal Human Experimentation, and Psychological Warfare Operations That Threaten Humanity. And the reason that I think this is so important to pull in to the Bill Gates vaccine is that, yes, now that they've been using illegally targeted persons since World War II to test out these directed energy weapons and neuro weapons and no-touch torture techniques, psychological warfare techniques, they are about to be rolled out on all of humanity. And so this is extremely important to have an understanding of what targeted individuals have been going through since the 50s, certainly. And so what I've done in my Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults.com website, which now has over 1,400 posts, I have gone to the writings of many, many targeted individuals and many experts in related fields like Dr. Alfred McCoy on no-touch torture. He was former CIA. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of books that I've read and summarized, and I've posted articles, and YouTubes and all kinds of information. So what we have with this new project then is something that can be purchased as a 74-track unit digitally, or it can be purchased track by track, and it's just coming out on my ericcarlstrom.com website now. And there's a number of subheadings. I'll read through them real quick.
Oh, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back. Dr. Eric Carlstrom. He is an emeritus professor of geography from the California State University at Stanislaus. And he's got several websites that I'm going to post those all in the chat room. So I invite you to visit the chat room because it has a lot of very interesting things. That is at spingola.chatango.com. Anyway, I will post those websites there. I must tell you, I read The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. She wrote it back in 2008, and I wasn't that impressed. I thought, you know, what she said was relatively correct, but I just didn't get a good feeling from why she was saying it, why she wrote the book, and I'm just very I don't trust a lot of people. Well, I do trust people, but I don't trust what she was writing. I don't trust the reason that she wrote it.
I think, you know, I can understand where you're coming from on that. I do remember learning a lot from that book myself, since
yes.
I didn't, you know, don't deal in economics myself much. But what I enjoyed about that book was when she compared the principle of the disaster capitalism, where, you know, a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake or something horrible happens, it wrecks an entire area, and then the capitalists swoop in and rebuild the area. So now where you had persons living on a beautiful beach like, you know, Indonesia and Banda Aceh, Christmas tsunami, 2004, now all of a sudden they're moved out in one instant, you know, in terms of time, and then in come the very, very expensive hotels. And she said this was a little bit like Dr. Ewan Cameron's mind control experiments. He's a CIA psychiatrist who was trying to erase the mind so it could be reprogrammed.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh.
And I thought that was an excellent comparison and very insightful.
Sure.
So, yeah, we need to start to kind of broaden our understanding of these mind control operations. If you don't mind, I'll just read you the introduction to this new project, Lifeline. Yeah, Essential Insights and Healing Music for Illegally Targeted Persons or Citizens. Millions of people throughout the world are now being secretly targeted, tracked, terrorized, and tortured in a massive illegal government, military, intelligence, corporate black operation that has been ongoing since World War II. The program, unquote, often referred to as organized stalking, electronic torture, counterintelligence stalking, and contract stalking, has many facets. Its victims are mostly innocent civilians who have been secretly and wrongfully watchlisted as terrorist threats. The lives of these illegally targeted persons, ITPs, or targeted individuals, TIs, are systematically destroyed via psychological warfare and remote no-touch torture techniques, including soft kill, slow kill, and silent kill, directed energy and neuroweapons. Their remotely electronically captured biometric data is trafficked and traded through an extensive network of military, corporate, university, medical, banking, and insurance institutions that function collectively as a criminal syndicate. The primary goal of the program is apparently to convert natural human beings into cybernetic man-machine or cyborg cybernetic organisms, slaves. Thus, TIs are non-consensual human experimentees, lab rats, in the testing and deployment of a host of technologies designed to permanently alter, control, and enslave human beings, much like Bill Gates' patent. As of this date, it appears that these technologies are soon to be deployed against the entire human population. In 2013, 2 years after retiring from a 30-year career as a university geography professor, I became aware that I was being targeted in this program. In response, I began an educational website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, in order to educate myself and others about the nature and purposes of these horrendous and nefarious activities. This website, Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults, also globalgestapo.com, now has over 1,400 posts. Furthermore, the information and insights provided in this website build upon the extensive information base I had already established in my other educational websites, 911nwo.com, naturalclimatechange.org, and sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com. This Lifeline musical narration project combines some of the most essential insights from my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website with instrumental music I have composed on piano, guitar, and banjo, and recorded in various CDs on this website, which is ericcarlstrom.com. It is my hope that the essential information and insights presented here in these musical narrations and songs will help one to inform and strengthen other illegally targeted persons so that they can better survive their hellish ordeal, to expose and defeat this diabolical program and the human devils that are now profiting from the destruction of so many innocent lives, and three, prevent this heinous program from going global as an essential component of the mark of the beast slave system, which I believe is now being rolled out. And then I finish with a quote from John 44, 1 John 44, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Anybody who's been gang-stalked would quickly realize they are being subjected to satanic ritual abuse, or eventually they would realize that. And
or they would think, they may think something else, maybe they've got their, and maybe they turn to medicine. They think, I've got to go on Prozac, or I have to do this or that, because there's something I'm not feeling right mentally.
Yeah, and in fact, the goal, you know, as Mark M. Rich said in his book, The Hidden Evil,
right.
The subtitle, I think, is the Financial Elite's Covert War Against the Human Population or something
right.
like that.
Uh-huh.
He said this is a very cleverly disguised program of torture and murder. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with devils here. And I think the wake-up call that I feel increasingly is important to come out with is that we have human devils on this planet. In fact, we have a collective of human devils that are working around the clock. They're satanic, they're Judeo-Masonic Satanists, I believe, who are working around the clock to take over the planet for their father, who is Lucifer. And the more I study this, the more convinced I am that this is what's going on. Now, this targeting program is something that is very culturally Jewish, according to one of the TIs that I quote, named Stephen O'Keefe from Canada. And he's got six of these tracks that are combine his insights from his website, Operation Catalyst, with my music. And that website, of course, has now been taken down. So I'm glad I transcribed what was on it.
Right.
Because targeted individuals are living on the edge of survival. The goal is to get the targeted individual to commit suicide, to make their life so ruined that they will seek suicide or they will complain about hearing voices in their head or being followed and then be institutionalized and put on drugs. It's a very, very clever.
Or just simply killed by cancer or by heart attack or...
Right.
And this has been going on for quite some time, not just a recent development. Smedley Butler was feeling just fine. He'd been through a lot of warfare, had been through a lot of physical activity. He went into a facility and developed cancer and was dead within just a very short time. Forrestal. Look at Forrestal.
Yep.
He jumped out of a 10-story window.
Yeah, he was quite elderly too, and they were amazed that he could climb up to the windowsill there to throw himself out, especially since he was about to be discharged 5 minutes later or 15 minutes later.
Exactly.
So, these are heinous operations of
Jack
assassination.
Ruby. What about Jack Ruby or Jack Rubenstein?
Well, you know, bottom line. Yeah, I've read much about this. I've written a whole article called Mind Control, History and Applications. And there was a psychologist by the name of Milton Klein, another good Jewish name, who said, this is 1957, and he was a hypnotist. Says, I can make a patsy in 3 months. It takes 6 months to make a Manchurian Candidate assassin. So that was the technology in 1957, was simply using hypnotism. And of course they have weaponized all the frequencies of the electromagnetic spectrum since then, and now they can do it remotely and electronically. And one of the points that Catherine Austin Fitz makes in these excellent interviews is that there are two kinds of demonic possession, or two kinds of possession, excuse me. One is traditional demonic possession, and the other is technological. We can be possessed, our minds can be entrained by these CIA mind control technologies through subliminal programming, and this goes beyond propaganda. This goes to actual reprogramming the mind with brain-to-computer interface and brain-to-brain interface, remote neural monitoring, remote neural manipulation. These are the things that are used against targeted individuals. These very, very high-tech. And then, like I say, their responses to all these tortures are measured, and their biometric data, you know, their heart rate and their, you know, how much they're sweating and everything is captured remotely and sent off to a host of universities and medical centers. And enormous amounts of money are made on these targets. So we are human trafficked, just like those teenage girls. I'm sure it's a different network, but it's the same principle. The teenage girls of Epstein, you know, they're
right.
Human trafficked.
Sure. Now, now you're not suggesting that there's a devil with a tail and horns and stuff, but you're saying that there are people who act devilish and are, there's good and bad in the world. And, I think that's the way it's set up. It was just the way that it was designed by a loving intelligence. Would you agree with that or?
Well, you know, Harold Rosenthal, the Jewish aide to Senator Jacob Javits, gave an extended interview in 1976, and he concluded by saying most Jews don't like to admit it, but the God we worship is Lucifer. He is very much alive, and we are his chosen people. Okay, so, and again, if you listen to Tex Mars, I mean, he's done so much work on this topic, and I certainly do believe there is a devil. It's a spirit. But the spirit entrains, it has to manifest through other beings on the planet, like human beings. And so you have entire secret societies and religions that are devoted to the worship of and not only the worship, but the summoning of demons for, it's called theurgy, for personal advantage. So this is part of the Jewish religion to actually summon these spirits. They would call them angels. Probably they're not good angels, and angelology, demonology, and this is very much part of that religion, which is a very ancient and fossil religion, if you start looking at it. And of course, John Dee, the great magician and astrologer of Elizabethan England back in the, I think, 1500s, was a Kabbalist, and Kabbalah is the study of black magic, the blackest magic.
Right.
Jewish have that they got from their captivity, quote unquote, in Babylon. And he was a Christian Kabbalist, but he corresponded and actually met with a rabbi low in Czechoslovakia, who was very much interested in creating the golem. And the golem is a creature made by Jews who will help them defeat their enemies, who is all non-Jews. And I think that what we're looking at with these cybernetic beings really is a golem. This is what they want, to transform God's creation into a cyborg slave that they can use in any way they want, as a soldier or as a prostitute or whatever, like the Manchurian candidates, but now to make a large segment of the population into these cyborg slaves. I think it's very, very dark, and we have to own up to the fact that these evil forces exist. I personally do believe that the devil exists. As a fallen angel, not on the same level as God, certainly, or Jesus Christ, but very, very clever. He comes as they say in the Bible, he comes as an angel of light, and as a roaring lion, and as a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he is the accuser, the destroyer, the tempter, I'm sure there's a couple more things there, but he is, anybody who is targeted would maybe have a personal understanding of human evil that most people couldn't even grasp, especially if you were brought up in a nice family or a Christian family. I mean, this doesn't exist for them, but it's very real. And if you look at the history, Jewish ritual murder, Jewish ritual abuse, these go back a long way. So we're dealing with a fossil people that have a survival strategy to take out all non-Jews and use all these methods, including the Kabbalistic black magic, to do it. And again, we can track this through history quite well, including the, human sacrifice. So
well,
I think you can,
if you read Hitchcock's book, they've been kicked out of 109 countries.
Yes.
So there must be a reason. These 109 countries can't all be wrong.
Well, this is what America needs to do. We need to deport the subversive element because this is their nature. You know, as the Bible says, can a leopard change its spots? No. You know, and they're chameleons. And I have nothing against Jews per se. I look at their behavior over a long period of time and said, this is like a rattlesnake. This is like having an infestation of rattlesnakes in your home.
Right.
And if you want to live in a peaceful manner, you got to get rid of that infestation of rattlesnakes, or else, you know, they're going to kill you. And this is exactly where we're at. They're in a position now to kill us all.
Exactly.
And of course, Tex wrote about that. He talked about the Tikkun Olam, which is the Jewish utopia. Tikkun Olam is a Hebrew word meaning reinvent the world or redesign the world. And I think that you can understand this. I can understand this anyway, as these people know they're collective. They operate together as a group mind, a hive mind, I think, of Satan. They know that they're bound for hell. They crucified Jesus Christ. They crucified their Messiah. And they say in the Bible, okay, let his blood be on our heads.
Actually, yes. What they said was, give us Barabbas in the scriptures twice.
Well,
they were given a choice.
Right, and but they said, let his blood be on our head and that of our children. I mean, that's in the Bible.
Yes,
and that is quite a curse when you consider the crime of deicide. So I think what they've been doing ever since is trying to redesign the world along Satan's terms so that they would be able to live forever and have omniscience, just like the serpent promised Eve in the garden. Now, whether you want to look at that literally or figuratively really doesn't matter. I look at it figuratively, but I think
right,
what they do...
Right. But you have to wonder who exactly... well, that is a very interesting story. It's allegorical, of course. But it is very interesting, and when you bring in the Kabbalah, and I used to belong to a church whose founder was into the Kabbalah. It's just very interesting, the mixture of religion with what is going on when you look at Zionist Christianity. And you think, what? And the Judeo-Christian. Now, that's an oxymoron. And that just came up after World War II, where they wanted to get a group of people together. But one just kind of cancels out the other. It's an oxymoron. You can't... it was designed to indoctrinate the public, as many other things are used to indoctrinate the public, to think that we have something in common with somebody that a so-called Christian nation, would, endorse, which of course we do, endorse bombing of innocent civilians. Anyway, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. And we'll pick.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Our back and our guest today is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and we were talking about the term. Or at least I was talking about the term Judeo-Christian, and that it was kind of a very misleading term, as if we suddenly had something in common, whereas the Jewish people were against Christ, and and well, it just seems like an oxymoron to me. And
well, they are Antichrist today. The Jewish people are Antichrist. That's also
right.
All there is. And what they're bringing in is the Antichrist kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. And I do believe Satan exists. I mean, I'm sure it's a matter of belief. Or, you know, I mean, it's going to be, you and I can't prove it in a discussion. But to me, the evidence points in that direction. And the story of the Bible of the, you know, the most beautiful of the fallen angels who rebelled and brought a third of the angels from heaven with them, it kind of works in that sense. But, yeah, the Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron. You can argue that Western civilization, the last 2,000 years, has been a war between the Jews and Christians, and the Jews have been continually trying to destroy what we would consider Christian civilization. I think they're very close to having accomplished their goal.
Right. Yes, definitely. And it's very sad, I think, that... Well, it has been so, it's been incremental for one thing, and it certainly didn't start after World War II. It started quite some time before that. And I actually go back a little bit further historically in the work that I've done, in the books that I've written. I go back to the so-called Civil War, the Marxists from the failed Marxist revolutions in Europe then came over here and fought with the North during the so-called Civil War. And so I view that as the first successful Bolshevik revolution was here in America. And so things have been going downhill since then with the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, and corporatocracy stepped in. And then you had had people like the Rockefellers who were corporate people and taking over the health industry, taking with the reports that they did. It was just... it's just very interesting how it all developed incrementally. And then you have to look in Europe at the Balfour Declaration, which has started things rolling very quickly, very rapidly. And it was the beginning of the destruction of the Ottoman Empire. There's a lot of things that happened that got us to where we are here today.
Yeah, and do you have the tracks that I sent you, Deanna? Are they available to be played?
That you sent them to. Could you resend them to where we're at here? Let's see, because the producer called you on a different. Could you resend them?
I can try.
Not to me, but let's see.
Well, if it's not easy, let's not worry about it, Deanna. But well, I can mention that in order to kind of get the essence of what's happening, I did a lot of reading and it came to grips with a lot of very intelligent people. I listened to all the interviews that Kay Griggs did, including the ones that she did with you.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And she was an insider who, a very, very bright lady who was targeted. And so I've got one of my tracks. It is about two of my tracks. I have her testimony. I have the testimony of Dr. Ronnie Kilde, who's formerly the chief medical officer of Northern Finland, and another brilliant lady who's a political insider who was stalked and killed, I think, in this program. Put in the program maybe in 1985, finally died of a heart attack, probably killed in 2015. And I've got others that are very, very brilliant people. But what it is, basically, I'm coming to, yes, it's a punishment. It's a way to take people out, to eliminate dissenting voices. But it's also, I think, a neurobioengineering program that's running out of the Department of Defense. It's a long-term thing. People are put in this oftentimes for life, and their data is, again, human trafficked to various medical centers and universities, et cetera, and corporations who are making a lot of money.
Okay, we'll be right back. Carlstrom, and he is, he's got some files that we're going to be listening to, and I was just looking, I didn't listen to them, but I was going through some of the files on my computer, and I ran across all of those from Kay Briggs, and I thought, oh my gosh, well, you know, you just, when I first heard her story, it wasn't a story, it was what actually happened. It was so overwhelming to me because I guess I'm really naive and I don't like to believe those things that I learn. And I can't imagine people being like that. And, but now with the Epstein and Pizzagate and all the rest, I guess it's just really all over, right? It's just something that has happened and is happening, and it's pretty awful.
Yeah, and it is very difficult for most people to wrap their minds around this amazing degree of satanic cruelty, which is really what it is. And it's quite deliberate, and the idea, I feel, is, again, you know, if the Jews and the Satanists have a hive mind, and the leader of that, the queen bee of that hive mind is Satan, their goal, I believe, is to pull as many into that hive mind as possible. Just like a Christian might feel like the Great Commission for a Christian is to get others to believe in Christ and go to heaven, they have the opposite mission. And I believe they've been working probably harder at it than we have. At least I don't have the big picture, so I don't know for sure. But they've been working at it very hard, and it's no holds barred. There's nothing that they won't do. There's nothing too rotten for them. In fact, they enjoy cruelty and human sacrifice. In fact, if you listen, Deanna, to a recent song that Bob Dylan put out called Murder Most Foul, 17 minutes long, and it's about the Kennedy assassination. And in that long song, Bob Dylan, who was this huge icon for the whole culture back in the 60s, he said basically this was a human sacrifice in the beginning of the age of the Antichrist. And he says, he talks about how we're just down the street from you. And, you know, I mean, it's like a confession of a terrorist group that his group did it. And also you can look at 9/11 very much as a ritual, satanic ritual sacrifice. Both of these had very Masonic symbolism involved with them, the assassination of Kennedy on 9/11. And there's a whole book about this on 9/11 called The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 as Ritual Sacrifice, which I have. And you start to see that this is part of their religion. The Holocaust for them is the term Shoah. Is Hebrew
right.
For burnt. A burnt offering is to their God, Satan. So, you know, John F. Kennedy's assassination was very, very black, evil thing. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just a public execution. It was more than that. It was a satanic ritual for these Satanists. Likewise, I think 9/11. So they're very clever about their symbolism and whatnot. They plan these things very carefully. And now I see that you might have something in your box here, Deanna, called A Race of Cybernetic Slaves. It's a shortcut. Might be worth listening to.
Okay. Is that one of your audios?
Yes, it's a mixture of
okay.
Marriage and my music. Yeah.
Let's do it. Does Ken have it? Did you drag it over?
I put it in the box to you. Is that okay?
No, no. You have to give it to the producer. Just drag it over. Drag it over to the chat that we're in. See, we have an active chat with you, me, and the producer.
Well, I am in the chat.
Can you see? Can you see the message? Eric, you can drag the files into the chat.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay, Ken, do you have those? Because I don't see them. And I would assume that I would see them in that chat.
Well, I've got three here. The Human Brain Project is by a Swedish guy named Robert Naslund, who was implanted back in 1967, and his life was hell ever since because he became a medical experiment, and it was entirely covered up. His life was completely destroyed. And then the next one is, and that's minor.
Oh, okay, okay, now I see you put them in there. Okay.
That's okay. The Human Brain.
Okay. So we can go ahead. Okay. So Ken's going to send.
I'll go ahead and introduce the others then, Deanna.
Okay.
A Race of Sine Waves is a very short piece of writing that by a guy named Marino. And it's just one of many, 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 many articles I read about gang stalking. And he believes that what's going on is that gang stalking is being used to develop the technologies by which they intend to enslave the human race. And I think with Bill Gates' patents, this is evidence that that is correct, that that is the correct interpretation of what's been going on. In other words, this is a black project that's been going on.
Okay.
Let's hit one. We're ready.
Okay, so go ahead with the first one.
From a lecture on the Human Brain Project by Robert Naslund, Swedish targeted individual and mind control victim. The history of cybernetics is the history of the Human Brain Project. It was developed as a collaboration between military research agencies and major hospitals in the world. Brains can be stolen and raped. The authorities do it. In April 10, 1967, the New York Times editorial Push Button People discussed the ongoing experiments and warned about the dangers of this technology. They also mentioned that probably there were countries in the world that had already planned to subjugate their people using this technique. Both the U.S. and Sweden were countries that had far-reaching plans to subjugate citizens beyond their knowledge in brain-controlled systems. The Phoenix program in Vietnam in 1970 used this same brain technology to identify and mass murder 33,000 civilians who were identified by the technology as Viet Cong sympathizers. In 1967, the New York Times published 30 articles about the CIA's brain control systems. The most important thing that was brought into light was that this project already had begun in the late 1940s. And they had built, with this technology, a state within a state. From New York Times editorial, August 5th, 1977. Control CIA, not behavior. So we must add repugnant medical experimentation to the list of horror stories emerging from the CIA. It was no secret that the agency once hunted desperately for means to control human behavior. One objective was to program individuals so that they might do the agency's bidding, even to the point of ignoring such fundamental laws of human nature as self-preservation. We are not sufficiently schooled in ethics to know how this differs from murder. There is no substitute for holding their senior officials ethically and legally responsible as individuals for all activities Even at this late date, the country should be told who sanctioned such projects and how. A conference was held in 1986, March 13, about the issue of mind control at the Swedish Department of Justice. Swedish Justice Minister Sten Wickbon had invited some professors, researchers, and a few politicians. One professor, Bengt Bernau, said that researchers from all over the world are coming to Sweden to experiment on humans because they don't have the right to do that in their own countries. Because we here in Sweden have less protection of our human rights than other nations. Many of those that sit in the EU, European Union, Parliament, also have their brains incorporated into the Defense Department's supercomputer control systems. Of course, they become a type of puppet for the will of others. In 2005, the European Commission's Ethical Board wrote, brain-computer interface, BCI, or direct brain control, are communication technologies. They take information from the brain and externalize it. Contemporary society is confronted with changes that have to do with the anthropological essence of individuals. To what extent might this technology be misused by the military? The member states and their ethics councils have a responsibility to create conditions for education and constructive, informed debates in this area. End quote. Throughout the history of mankind, there has never existed anything more totalitarian. There has never been anything more anti-democratic. A dictatorship can never be greater than when its citizens' brains are linked to computer control. The state has become a cannibal, a rapist who is eating its citizens, transforming us into biological, manipulable components. What happened during over 60 years of brain experimentation? Which doctors, professors, what institutions have been involved in the most anti-democratic project that ever existed? By what kinds of methods has it been possible to keep it off the media and people's attention? What is the role of the medical corporations? They are involved. What does the government say? FOIs, which is Sweden's DOD, DARPA, supercomputers must be turned off. We are all about to become the state's lab rats and chip-regulated behavior skulls.
Yeah, so that's Robert Naisland.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think the next one, we can play the next one, A Race of Cybernetic Slaves, because it's very related.
Okay.
This is the writing of James F. Marino. And no, it's the A Race of Cybernetic Slaves.
From James F. Marino's The Human Species is on the Precipice of Becoming a Race of Mind-Controlled Cybernetic Slaves. It is Rothschild Zionism's control over the U.S. military intelligence complex and its total subversion of this complex, which the American citizenry must collectively be made aware of. Especially since this Orwellian complex is being used in secret to brain map the entire U.S. population in the interest of ultimately reducing us to a cybernetic race of beings whose state of consciousness will come from a neural network of artificial intelligence-driven computers. Imagine a race of people all thinking the same thoughts simultaneously while being incapable of having an individual thought. A true slave race, and you can begin to understand the inherent evil which drives those who operate within the very hierarchy of this complex. If we are attempting to unravel the secret of the most perplexing mystery of this century, we should acknowledge that certain segments of mankind, in order to accomplish their power-hungry plans, have often been happy to pull the veil over the eyes of, if not put out the eyes of, their fellows who inhabit this earth.
Okay.
And I guess we could just go ahead with the next one. The next one is a song that I've written, actually three songs that I've kind of rewritten for the occasion, which kind of puts a different light on it, maybe a little bit of a spoof.
Okay, how long is it?
It's about 4 minutes, I guess, 4 or 5.
Okay, why don't we wait till after the top of the hour?
No, that's fine. Yeah, so this is kind of heavy stuff. And at first, when I read that piece by James F. Marino, I thought, well, this is too extreme. But now, of course, with Bill Gates' patent and everything that's happened, we see that this is exactly what's happening. And this is exactly what their goal is. Their goal is nothing less than to turn the human species into a race of transhuman, man-machine cyber slaves.
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Because with the GMO situation, when Monsanto, who's been in business for a very, very long time, they decided that they had to patent a seed, so they had to change it. They had to genetically modify it. And so it makes sense that that's what they want to do with human beings. It's unbelievable.
It is. It's very difficult for us to comprehend the diabolical mind that would conceive that. But again, Tex Mars studied the issue with the Jews so much. And, you know, their worldview is that we're not human. They have phrases in the Talmud to the effect that God made Goyim in human form so they wouldn't have to be served by donkeys, you see. We're beasts to them. We're animals, and so it's no big deal. We're like insects to them.
Right. Which Kissinger said when he was talking about sailors, military people.
Yes. Yeah.
Bunch of dumb, stupid animals.
Yes, and that's the way they look at all Goyim, all non-Jew. And wake up. I mean, now they can be very engaging and friendly and fool you quite well, but deep down, their allegiance is to the Jewish race and to Israel and to the bringing in of this Tikkun Olam, this Jewish Universal Empire.
Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3 minute break. We'll be right back. Alright, we are back with our guest, Dr. Eric Carlson. And as far as I know, you do not have a book out unless it was your musical one that was in 1999. Was that yours?
You know, I've got many books worth of material on my websites, and I've never paused to get one published. I've been told, maybe you can confirm or deny, that people make actually very little money on the books that they publish. So I have...
That is so true, particularly if you go through... one of your typical publishers. However, I do know of a publisher that you could probably come out very well by publishing through them, and I can talk to you about that after the program. I probably broke even on my books, but I really didn't write my books to make any money. I wrote my books because I think that when we know something, we have an obligation to share it with other people, to warn other people to the things that we have become aware of.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, on my 911NWO.com website, when I retired in 2011, I moved to Crestone, Colorado, where I built a house. And I started writing a series of articles because there was a conservative named Tom DeWeese who made a speech in which he said, Crestone, Colorado, Maurice Strong believes is the Vatican City of the New World Order.
Right.
So we talked about this. So I wrote a series of, many chapters. It's about 1,500 pages now. It's on my website. It's called Is Crestone Baca the Vatican City of the New World Order, an expose of the New World Religion? And I learned an awful lot, and I do want to get that published. But I met a tremendous amount of resistance when I even tried to Xerox it, and it was blocked from many local libraries, and my stalking had already begun by that time. So it's like you're being surrounded with thugs to intimidate you a lot. And that's certainly what happened when I even tried to Xerox that. But, yeah, that's just one of a number of books that I've really got pretty close to being done. We'll see how long I live, Deanna. If I live for a while, I'll publish some of these things.
Sure, that would be good. And some libraries, because libraries are also very, well, they're part of the system. I attempted to provide a copy of Afghanistan After Democracy, and they said it was, that it was too, let's see, what'd they say about the pictures? They didn't like the pictures. They were too radical, too violent, too, and yet they'll publish, they have books on, I don't know if they have books on pornography, but you can get books on just about anything at the library, but they simply didn't feel that they wanted to carry that book, and they didn't want the truth. It was kind of a sad thing.
Yes, I experienced that. When I tried to give my Xerox copies to the Salida Public Library, they didn't want it, and a couple others didn't want it, and the ones that did take it kind of managed to hide it. You know? So I realized that we're up against a system that...
Yes, that's so true. Okay, we'll be right back. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and should we play the other audio file that you sent?
Yeah, let's play I Want to Map Your Brain. You might recognize the tune.
Okay.
CIA, sitting in a nest of neuroscientists from Yale, Harvard, MIT, UC Berkeley, Stanford, Georgetown, University of Chicago, University of Illinois, Columbia, Illinois Smart State, Argonne, Fermi, Los Alamos, and Livermore National Labs, Lockheed Martin, Leidos, SAIC, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Inc., etc. When I overheard one of them say, "We are the front line on the most important battlefield ever, the battle for the control of the minds of men. The now realizable goal to create biorobotized humans and a psycho-civilized society. We love the work we do for the CIA, DIA, DARPA, and the corporate sector, but the hours can be long and tedious. So we need a catchy theme song to keep up our morale. Something like this. Oh yeah, we'll tell you something. Allow us to explain. And we'll tell you something. We want to map your brain. Telemetry. We see the thoughts inside your brain. Then we electronically we control your brain. We control your brain. We're gonna steal your brain. When we control you, we feel happy inside. Such a feeling that our slave we can't hide, we can't hide, we can't hide. Oh yeah, we've been planning something over a century. Now we, with our technology, we can control your brain. Now we can steal. And take your brain.
Okay.
There's a little bit more, Deanna. Can you keep it rolling?
Sure.
And we'll wink at you. You're our puppet. And you'll do funny things when we want you to. You're our puppet. Now you are ours to have and to hold. And loser, we've got full control of our puppet. Puppets. You're our puppets.
There, that's it.
Okay. Interesting. It also brings up the subject of music and how music was used, I think, a lot to change young people. I was never really into the music scene. I was not your typical teenager, and I've only been to two concerts. You know, those the concerts where people. I went to see Chicago, the music group Chicago, and I saw the Backstreet Boys, and that's the only two concerts that I've ever been to. And I didn't really, my music, the music that I played in my room, I had a record player but I just always played things like Franti and Teicher and real music, Rachmaninoff and that kind of thing. I just never got into that other kind of music. But I do believe that groups like the Beatles, were sent over here to alter the culture. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a fantastic book called Weird Scenes from the Canyon written by David.
Oh, right, yes. Yes. I interviewed him before they did him in.
He was a man. And this was an operation. This was a psychological operation in which, the American, youth were targeted with sex, drugs, and rock and roll to alter the culture, to separate the generations, and to discredit the legitimate protests of the war in Vietnam. So causing cultural chaos and really bringing in a lot of Satanism on the way. But this was a military, Tavistock,
And
of course I was growing up at that time and it did change the culture radically. I was involved with the music scene because I was a guitar player and, it did radically change the dynamics of the country. We survived it somehow, but it was like a civil war back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And, like now, now we're back into another kind of very, very tense time where we're on the verge of civil war. And again, I think it's being orchestrated. I think the last time it was. Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, that song, I think, is an attempt to kind of make fun of what these guys are trying to do, which is so hideously evil that what else can you do but make fun of it? I mean, they are all the evil, you know, Dr. Evils in the world, in the world of cinema, all wrapped in one now are going for their goalposts, it would appear. And I think they're kind of exposed. I think they've exposed themselves for the monsters that they are if we can wake up in time. So
if enough people can wake up, and I don't watch TV. I unplugged it back in March. And I haven't turned it on since. So I don't get into the programming that is going on. And so I don't know whether people are buying into this. And when I see people with a mask on, I say, what are you wearing that thing for? And I have a little tag. I don't wear one. And nobody says anything to me. I used to wear one to the post office. And then I thought, I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to do this. And when I did wear one, it had a sign on it that says reducing my oxygen for your comfort. And I threw it away. I don't wear a mask. And anyway, we do have some callers. Why don't we take some calls?
Well, sure.
Okay. Andy in Texas. Andy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for welcoming me to your show. Hey, I just want to tell you, that's a fascinating doctor you got sitting on the other side of the phone with you. What an awesome
dude.
He's a doctor. No doubt about it. He's a doctor, and he's got philosophical reasons. He's got everything that's going on with him is just absolutely amazing, and people should just be amazed by him. But you know what? We're looking at something where it's almost biblical in proportion to what we're looking at here, and it's almost like the people are reading Revelations and saying, you know, we got. It's almost like they didn't take enough time, or they gave us too much time to realize they were idiots. And so they're like, well, we got to go do this because Revelation says we have to do this. And we've got so many people believing in the Bible, and we got all these Christian people believing in the Bible. So let's hit them with this Revelations thing. When in fact, what happened is the people, there's not that many people. Actually, what's happening right now is people are moving away from religion. They're not grabbing the religion and whatnot. So they saw an opportunity where they could use Revelations as their go-to or whatnot. And then that's just kind of worrisome in my opinion. But overall, I think, we're finding out, you and I and our young host there, we can figure out that these people think we're stupid. And the reason they think we're stupid is because of the GMO foods, the fluoride, the barium, strontium, and aluminum sprayed over our heads, all this stuff. everything that they've laid out for us to make us stupid. But, you know, there's a handful of us that aren't stupid. And what's beautiful is that there's a doctor, not just you, doctor, but there's Dr. Kelly, who was just on Mike Adams' show. There's other doctors, Dr. Kaufman, blah, 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 throw some names out there, whatever. There's a whole bunch of people that aren't stupid. We were not. I mean, we were subject to what they gave us and made us ingest high fructose corn syrup, so on and so forth. But we survived it, and we can see through it. And I don't think they were counting on the fact that some of us might survive this. What says you?
Well, thank you for your kind words. Boy, I have no crystal ball here. Things look very, very serious to me. You know, with all these orchestrated riots in the streets and whatnot, protests, quote unquote, it looks to me like the nation is being led down the primrose path to civil war, and has been led down that path for a long time. The fact that the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, quote unquote, protests are going on at the same time that the country's been locked down with this fraudulent coronavirus, to me is absolute proof that we're being played, we're being suckered. You know, you would never have all of these things happening at once unless it were orchestrated to be so. And I'm afraid that with the same powers that be, you know, I mean, the military, the police, the FBI, the DHS, they could stop these demonstrations, these violent demonstrations in a heartbeat, but they are standing back. And so, in other words, they're part of the overall script here. And what I'm afraid is that there's going to be another factor that comes in. For instance, we've been doing a war dance with China, and Rick Wiles of True News threw out the idea that, well, if that goes to actually a hot war, then the military could lock down the country in real martial law, and then, you know, really bad things could happen. So right now it seems like almost anything is possible. I, you know, pray to God and keep rowing to shore, I guess, would be my attitude, and hope others have, you know, the same fortitude to keep in the game, you know.
Hey, so, you know, I don't like politics at all, but, I mean, we've got so many people loving this Trump dude, and then we got so many people hating the Trump dude, and that's that left-right paradigm and stuff. And what's really sad is the people in between the love and the hate of Trump are the ones who are really getting smashed right now. And we really don't care who leads us. We just want them to lead us to prosperity. So at this point, we're at a point where who needs leadership, because they're not doing anything for us. And so it's disappointing to a lot of people, but we're almost at a point of anarchy. And you know what? What's really sad about people who say anarchy is bad? No, anarchy is, I don't need my government. I can govern myself. And a lot of people have put anarchy, they've labeled it as the people breaking windows and stuff. No, it's not about that. Anarchy is about governing yourself. I don't need anybody else to help me govern myself. I can take care of myself. I'm anonymous. I'm, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we've got a real big problem in this country, and it has a lot to do with, just people watching TV. Turn the damn thing off. There's no COVID-19. You turn it back on, people are dying everywhere. Save your life. Turn your TV off. That's basically the story there. I mean, really, come on, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I got it. Yes,
agreed.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And
day.
As far as an authority figure and as far as Trump, people aren't looking at the fact that all of this stuff happened under his watch. They are ignoring the fact that he was good friends with Epstein. They are ignoring the fact that they were neighbors, ignoring so much of the connections that Trump had. And I mentioned his uncle, who was given the Tesla's work to go through, and basically said, "Oh, nothing here, move on." So of course, all this happened under his watch. And he could have. Okay, so we have unemployment. We have people being evicted. We have small business closings. We have a huge, huge asset money going to the billionaires. All this money going to the billionaires. They've increased their wealth since March dramatically. So you have to say, well, hey, Trump, you know, get the economy back. And we were told, oh, it would only be 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Okay, so that was, what, 6 months ago? So as far as I'm concerned, either party, whether you're talking about the Marxists, the Democrats, or the Zionists, the Republicans, either party is going to lead you down to the road to hell. Excuse my language, but that's how I feel about it.
I agree with you, Deanna. I don't think we have a shining option coming up in November at all.
Heavens no.
It's two horrible options. I think the French saying is that those who do not do politics will be done. And I'm afraid, you know, we've been very carefully, intentionally marginalized from the political process through propaganda, et cetera.
Well, I think they're running somebody that's obviously unable cognitively to get it together, to keep it together. He's, what, 79 years old? He's really, he would be the oldest person to be a president. I think they're running him on purpose to ensure that Trump wins. I think it's a reverse psychology kind of thing.
It makes sense to me. He will be a puppet if he gets in, that's for sure, or he won't last long.
And he says, he claims that he is the best thing that's ever happened to Israel. And they agree with it. And he came in March and April. Without Congress, he bombed Syria. He sent a warship and bombed Syria. Okay? And that was the first bombing, by the U.S. during their so-called civil war. Okay, we're going for a quick break. I bet.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty, we are back with our guest, Dr. Eric Harlstrom, and we do have some more callers. I think we will cut Andy loose. And take Charles in Florida.
How you doing, Deanna?
Yes, good. And you, Charles?
Yeah, fine. Glad to listen to both of you, to Dr. Carlstrom especially. Karl Marx, and I'm told in his book Capital, talked about, predicted that the capitalist would finally make a disastrous decision in the future of having self-expanding capital. Productive capital is the commodity producing capital, then producing more commodities and so on. But they would take the shortcut, and capital would just produce capital and so on, which he said would become a disaster. Things would blow up, literally. And that is what I think the derivatives were. The derivative idea came from three scientists from MIT in 1987 after the downturn in the economy. There was a recession, and their brilliant idea, they were members of the tribe, of course, was to recreate self-expanding capital. They call it derivatives, and there was a very good article around 1991 in Economist that dissected the ideas of the derivative, which is supposed to, which is what has happened to us now. We have to have this reset. 2008 recession and this, the reset. They all have to do with these derivatives. They're based on nothing real in the real world. They're like Marx predicted, they're going to cause a huge explosion. And, my suggestion for one of your songs, it's Warp Speed Ahead, Jean-Luc Picard, to meet with the meet with the Borgs. They ought to have a song that way, since Trump wants to be like Star Trek. But they had Borgs in there. They were short for cyborgs. Dr. Jean-Luc Picard, or Dr. Luc Picard, became one of them in the movies and on TV.
That's a good idea. My thing
to alert the public.
Yeah, well, it's a fact. It's here. I mean, I think things have moved so quickly in the realm of science that the public is, well, we were already 50 years behind Department of Defense, but now that you have IT and nano and neuro and bio and biotech and all these things combining, the people in, you know, the Pentagon contracting agencies, I mean, they we're in a new world now where almost anything is possible. And this is what we're starting to see.
Have you heard of luciferase? That's going to be Bill Gates is going to inject into people to help them adjust. I guess it's some kind of polymerase, or the polymerase chain reaction, the thing to help the body receive the recombinant DNA, I guess, or DNA sequencing. I don't know how you put it.
Yeah, if we can see through this.
Yeah, it's all predicted. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know that they have in mind to roll out several vaccines and more for the elderly, of course, you know, because they want to target the elderly and get rid of us. But yeah,
that's part of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a UN
population program.
Yeah. So all our American laws and American values are being thrown out the window. And I think, you know, we need to point that out. How many laws are being broken? How many traditions? Our whole constitutional frame of government is being subverted and trashed.
Have you seen the scenes from Australia that Alex Jones is showing on InfoWars? Seen, you know, videos have been taken there where they've turned into a regular Gestapo in New Zealand and Australia. People can't, you know, one woman was arrested for daring to organize a protest against the lockdown on Facebook. But okay. they don't arrest.
We have a quick break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. Starts with you and me.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and we have a few more callers that we'd like to take. See, Charles probably hung up, so we will move on to Chris near Las Vegas. Lucas.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Eric and Deanna, and thank you, Deanna, for bringing Dr. Eric back on with his wonderful, informed information.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, Dr. Eric, I expect that you are probably familiar with Targeted for Justice site, and of course, another host on this particular network, RBN, Frank Allen, who has a show targeted in Michigan each night during the week, and the work that they've done there to acquire repositories of information regarding the FBI's so-called HERP management, confidential human source, and other policy guides, and of course the FEMA Citizens Corps of See Something, Say Something, Sovietized informants on their neighbors. And the effects that are falling out, myself, I suspect you also. I know for a fact that I was on the terrorist watch list with no fact-centric basis for being there. But I absolutely saw it firsthand on a screen in front of me when I was handcuffed in the back seat at the last event of egregious abuse of mass deadly force, one of two. And I saw HOT 10 KW8. The HOT hit was explained or has been discerned to be kill on sight, if possible. The 10 means you're allegedly want to kill police or judges and are armed and dangerous. The TW stands for Terror Watch, from the Terror Screening Center and the Fusion Centers and Department of Homeland Security's assimilation of all the whole of government operations in our local areas in violation of Ex parte Milligan and the Pinkerton Act. And the 8 was supposedly, I was hypothetically suicidal, although I can firmly assure you that there is no basis for any of that deadly nonsense being ascribed to me whatsoever, as I have never done any violence intentionally to anyone that amounts to anything other than maybe an occasional going up fisticuffed or defending myself when attacked. And I suspect that you probably are likely also on the terrorist watch list. What do you think?
Thank you for your comments. Sounds very knowledgeable. Oh, I think so, yes. And I don't think I have as many details as you do. I haven't seen my name in a list, although it must be there. I think your comments give an idea to our audience how intense it is and dangerous to be on this list. I mean, you are treated as an enemy of the state. You're treated as with a person with no civil liberties. You're treated as a criminal by our law enforcement officers, and it's not a happy place to be. But you know, and it kind of forces us to be, you know, even more careful in everything we say and do, just to survive, I'm afraid.
Absolutely, Dr.
What do you think?
In fact, I have been studying and investigating this very deeply. I'm a former multi-jurisdictional law enforcement professional, and of course, finding myself the target of an investigation for the horrific crime of studying law seems pretty foreign and dangerous to me. But that was the utterance. They claimed that because I was studying law, I was plotting to overthrow the government. And your observation of being an enemy of the state, I think more accurately, the state has become our enemy, and the agencies of government have been weaponized against we the people.
Very much so. Yeah, in fact, right at the beginning of the discussion today, I think I kind of tried to sum things up as what's happening now is hybrid warfare by governments against the civilian population in order to bring about the fourth industrial revolution or the technocracy. I think that the the powers that be, including all federal agencies, are weaponized now against the civilians. And those of us who have the capacity and the brains and the determination to push back some, we're given special treatment, you might say. Obviously, you have a background that somebody is threatened by, and they figured it's better to take you out and let you run your course, you know.
Well, they've certainly done everything in their power to try to provoke me to violence so they could have a pretext to do so. However, I have so far been watched over by the Creator and cloaked myself with the Psalms 91:1 cloaks of protection against the principalities of evil that have served me well today. But I have also observed that there are many, many, what I term to be Satanists, or at least demon worshipers, embedded within the agencies of government, posing to be public servants and abusing their discretion egregiously by targeting people and vindictively seeking retribution against those that threaten their lucrative existence because they're getting paid egregious amounts of money, unjust enrichment, from investigating innocent people they put the false label of terrorism on.
Congress is on the take, okay? They've admitted it. They're on the take. It's just plain and simple.
Well, absolutely.
You know, we do have some other callers, Chris. So
that's fine. Thank you so much for letting me chime in with Dr. Eric again today, Dina. Deanna, it's always a great pleasure to be on your call with your guest.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, let's take Donna in California. Donna?
Yes, hello. I'd like to ask the question to the doctor that you were saying the AI is going to hook us up to a central computer. Is that what you mean?
The beast system is what we're talking about, but it certainly involves an array of supercomputers, and I'm not, I can't say where it is. I've heard it might be in deep underground military bases, but AI is supposed to be what runs our world in their vision, their utopian vision, and we saw the drills of Jade Helm 15 and UX 16 or Unconventional Warfare Exercise 16. Were an attempt to roll out this AI system that would master the human domain, as the term they use. We're talking full spectrum dominance of humanity. I think it's quite dark and certainly does not represent the interests of the American people. So it's our job, I think, to understand and try to move against it, to resist it.
Yes, well. Now, it speaks, are you saying this is the mark of the beast in the Bible?
Absolutely. Yeah, in fact, I'm not the only one saying that this is the mark of the beast in the Bible. The Bill Gates patent, which would be used in the vaccinations, would in fact give them the right to say who buys and sells. If you don't play by their rules, you have to stay in your house, you can't buy anything. And this, I think, is what they have in mind for us. And for those of us who are believers, I include myself, we're not going to take that vaccine under any circumstances because we know it means spiritual death. It means we're no longer creatures of God. We're now creatures of Satan. That's what I believe. And I think there's a lot of evidence to support that. And a lot of Christians of all different professions agree with that.
Right. However, in this Revelation 13:8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." I see this as a matter of something you worship. Now, this could be, what you're talking about. The AI hookup to the computer could be a precursor, but the Bible indicates it is something you worship.
Well, that's a good point. And you talk about the imagery, the image of the beast coming out of the land and coming out of the sea. All of that technology is available with holograms. They can create images in the sky and have been able to do that for a long time, you know, with Operation Bluebeam, et cetera. So it's possible that, you know, that will come to pass. I don't have a crystal ball on that, but yeah, worshiping the image of the beast. I don't, you know, I am no expert at this, eschatology, prediction exactly how it's going to go down, but it does to me look like the mark of the beast system and something to be resisted at all costs by anybody who's still, you know, got two brain cells to rub together.
Right. It says that all, both small, great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive the mark in their right hand or their foreheads. But then it goes on to say, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, so this is indicating that there are people not going to take the mark. This is only the people that take the mark.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's only those.
That is
so if you don't take the mark, you're not going to buy or sell something, whatever you worship. But I do agree that this vaccine and everything definitely indicates like a precursor to the mark. But still, again, I have to say it's something you worship. It's a matter of choice, is what I'm saying. It can't be forced on you.
That's an interesting comment. Yeah, I'm willing to learn on this, you know. We're all in trouble here.
Well,
and we have to help each other, you know.
Right. Jesus, he wouldn't allow us to be, you know, forced to take the mark if we don't want it. I mean, he gives us, we're always given a choice, is what I'm saying. So this is a choice we can make. I don't think they're going to try and force it on us. Because according to the scriptures, that doesn't match up. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that to you.
They certainly do seem to want to force it on us.
Yeah, you listen to Alan Dershowitz saying, you know, they're going to send somebody to your door and they're going to go inside.
Right, the military. They're going to send the military out. That's what. Yes, yeah. That is what Trump said. That they would send
you. Yes, I know. I heard that, and that's very scary. I have to admit,
yes.
It's very scary. But I have to go back to my belief that
sure.
Jesus is going to give me a choice. I don't have to take it. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, that's my feelings about it. Because, I mean, if they stick a needle in you and you say, well, you got the mark now, how can that be fair when you didn't have a choice?
Right.
It's not fair. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm feeling that even though they're going to come into your house and take you out and quarantine and everything, I still feel we have the freedom of choice.
Well, there is a document that you can download. At freedomtaker.com,
mm-hmm.
It's the vaccine conditional acceptance document. It's about eight pages long, but it's very, it would be very useful. I have it printed out at the front door.
And can you use it then? Will they accept it?
Well, I don't know because
the medical professionals
come to get me
okay.
yet.
Well, I'll let you go and let somebody else cut online.
FreedomTaker.com.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, let's take James in Ohio.
Hello, Deanna. I probably
Hello.
Sent you material from your Woodridge
yes.
earlier. I'm going to send you some more. So I had a peculiar notice on my door when I came down this morning, looked at the door, had a 30-day eviction notice, and I'm crippled.
Oh, you're kidding.
I don't know how I'm going to work this out. But in your prior guests you've had on, you talked about The Body Electric by Robert Otto Becker, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The people at Meridian Institute over in Virginia were also interested in his explanation of the body's electrical field. I know how to build the wet cell appliance and the radioactive appliance, and there's a, well, something like a competitor over in southeast Pennsylvania, Bar Products, BAAR, who's having a a trademark called Radiac, and I know it's a generic, and I hope that I would have maybe some help from the guests you had on, particularly the August 22nd, the third R. I didn't know how to spell a fellow's name, but I'll list some of this material in my snail mail or U.S. Postal Service material that I can send out probably, by sometime after Labor Day. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do this.
You're saying August 22nd, the guest in the third hour?
Yes.
Dr. Habib Sadeghi?
I was simply going to send you a self-addressed stamped envelope, or else you can give him my phone number if he wants to talk to me. He understood that the patents and trademarks and some of the antics of the big pharma people and how they would patent the drugs.
That's probably John O'Connor that was talking about that on that day, or Scott Dow.
Scott Dow was the second hour. You were correcting Scott. Did I say that right?
Scott Dow was the second hour. John O'Connor was the first hour. And Dr. Habib Sadeghi was the third hour. And we talked about breast cancer, which doesn't seem to be relevant to your situation. But you have an eviction notice on your door?
Yeah, I've been injured for a long time with smashed right foot, nerve damage.
Hang on, we'll be right back. We're talking to James in Ohio, and you have you just do snail mail. So you're looking for help to keep from being evicted, or what kind of help are you looking for?
Well, first of all, I'm something like a nobody because my given name or birth name is James Smith. There's probably more James Smiths of male in North America than any other name.
Sure.
I worked under a different name from a probate court setting I did in Richland County over here in Ohio. The judge, Charlie Freehaver, was drunk. I don't need to get into all the details.
Yeah. But, yeah, because we're running out of time and we have another caller too. But,
okay. Is Dr. Eric based in Colorado?
Yes.
I'll write to you and you can give me my phone number or something.
Okay. That would be good.
God bless you and have fun with the next guest.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm sure I have his phone number, or he will give it to me. Anyway, we have Mark in Florida. Mark, welcome. No, we don't have Mark in Florida.
Hello. There you go. You got me now.
Okay.
I just wanted to click and thank you for your guest, Deanna. You're wonderful. Thank you so much. For the guest, with all of this contraptions brought against us for the past thousands of years, what I wonder why is nobody mentions any other candidates besides Republicans and Democrats. And I would think that RBN, their host, would want to invite the Libertarians, the Constitution Party, as guests, offer to them all. That way there's equal opportunity and they can all say yes or all say no, but nobody brings forward any opposing views. And I like your opinion on that because Joe Jorgensen's been nominated for Libertarian Party president. She may have good ideas. They may be aware of all these things you're trying to do. They may want to offer solutions or defenses anyway, but I'd like your thoughts on that.
Deanna?
Cynthia McKinney was running for president with the Green Party and was doing very well, and then they trumped up some charges against her, redesigned her district, and she was out. The Constitution Party, the same thing. Presidents are not elected. They are selected. In other words, we really don't have a choice of, we think we have a choice because there's a two-party system. We think, oh, we have choice. No, we don't, because we didn't choose these two people that are running. Or, you know, they start out with maybe eight. But when you look at the lineup, they are all connected. Like Jeb Bush, he was in the mix. And it seems to me, well, if you go back in history and look at all of the presidents, you had the Roosevelts, you had Teddy, then you had FDR, they're all selected.
Can you hold me over?
No, because the program's over. So, anyway, thank you, Mark, for calling. Alrighty, take care. And Eric, thank you so much for being on the program. We need to do this again.
Well, thank you, Deanna. It's always great to have a chance to visit and compare notes. And all the best to you. Take care.
Alrighty. Sooner than later, right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye, listeners. Chat with you next week. Bye-bye.